Today we continue the sermon series on the seven corporal works of mercy, and the one that I will discuss is visit the prisoners. When I first realized that the corporal work of mercy that I would talk about was visit the prisoners, I asked myself, is this a real thing? Maybe I watch too many movies or television shows with the concrete and brick walls surrounded by high fences and barbed wire, armed guards and sophisticated security systems, and I got it in my head that people aren't really expected to go inside prisons to visit strangers that have committed crimes, are they? But then, while I was reading a book titled The Living Mysteries, A Guide for Unfinished Christians, which was written by Scott Hahn and Mike Aquila, I encountered a statement about St. Gregory of Nyssa, where he reminded us that we were all prisoners of death until Jesus descended into hell and rose again. Without Jesus visiting the prisoners of hell, we would all be eternal prisoners of death. And I thought, well, at least Jesus is not asking us to enter into hell. So I concluded that Jesus was serious when he said in Matthew chapter 25, and I know you've heard this 4 weeks in a row, but it bears repeating. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me. Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me. And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. I came to realize that Jesus meant what he said, and that people were actually being denied heaven because they did not visit prisoners, along with the other works of mercy they were neglecting. And then I asked myself, how can I talk about something I've never done and don't know anything about? Now, some of my family would say, that's never stopped you before. But fortunately, with this situation, there was plenty of time to change that before I was to present this homily. The first thing I did was talk to one of my diaconate classmates named Deacon Ed Kelly from Rock Hill, and he's heavily involved in the prison ministry. He was only too excited to talk to me about this, one of his passions, and he started out by trying to allay my concerns. He said that the men he meets with in the prisons are so grateful to have people care enough about them to bring Jesus into their otherwise stark and monotonous world and to teach them the faith. He also said that the men he meets are mostly good people that either had a bad moment in their life when they reacted poorly in the heat of the situation, or they made a terrible decision that they will regret the rest of their life. He said they are remorseful and repentant, and he assured me there was nothing for me to be concerned about. Now, Deacon Ed goes to prison with our very own Father Davison and Ernie Fernandez, so I talked with Father Davison about joining them one day. He said, sure, and then he acquired the documents I had to fill out, and about a month later, I was approved to go visit the prison. So one recent Friday, I went with Father Davison and Ernie to a prison located about an hour from here. Father Davison celebrated the Mass while Ernie and I acted as altar servers. There were a few men that sat in the back that didn't pay attention. I don't know why they were there. But there were many that sat up close and prayed devoutly and paid attention through the entire Mass. And I had a few encounters with some of the men afterwards. They were gracious and very appreciative of us coming to be with them for that 1 hour. Now, this was an experience that was made easy for me because of Father Davison and Ernie. They led me through it. It was also easy for me because I'm retired and still have some say in how I spend my time. But on the way home, I began to think, this wasn't too difficult for me, but what about those people who have jobs, families, health issues, mobility issues, and any number of issues that would make it difficult or even impossible for them to visit the prisoners in prison? But prior to this trip, I encountered one method to meet this requirement of visiting the prisoners. Deacon Bob and I visit several assisted living places, and we were visiting one woman at an assisted living home, and she was surprised to see us that day. She said, "Is it Thursday already? I'm sorry." That's how she greeted us every Thursday. And then she said, "Here all the days seem the same. It's almost like being in prison." So one way we can love God and love our neighbor is to visit the people in our local assisted living facilities. Many of you know our beloved Jean Casey. For many years, she visited National Healthcare and fed those who needed help. She said the rosary with them, and she attends the communion service that Deacon Bob and I celebrate with the residents. And then there's the story of my daughter, Mary Carolyn. She has friends with special needs. They do not get out into public too often, and they don't have too many people to talk to. So they too are caught up in their own personal prison. Now Mary Carolyn will call them and let them talk to her for hours at a time. And it's quite taxing on her, but she says, "Dad, they have no one else to talk to." And being Mary Carolyn, she always brings God into the conversation. So we can visit prisoners by visiting or spending time with the lonely. In your neighborhood or your apartment building, you may be aware of a person that is alone or lonely. Give them your time once in a while and just let them talk to you. I also recalled on a few occasions talking to Deacon John Leninger, and he's deacon in St. Andrew's Parish in Clemson. He's greatly involved in the prison ministry called Kairos. In this ministry, there's a group of men, both Catholic and non-Catholic, that do a three-day retreat at our prisons. This team of men go in and present Christ to the prisoners that may never hear of him otherwise. And John, Deacon John, always talks with great joy about how they see the visible, physical, and spiritual transformation that takes place in these men as the retreat progresses. Now, John is always looking for people to help with this ministry. And just so you know, not everybody who helps in this ministry actually has to go into the prison. And finally, during the Easter octave, my wife Lynn and I said a novena of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. We did this by watching a YouTube video, and we sang along with Donna Corey Gibson as she sings the Divine Mercy Chaplet. You know what they say, when you sing, you pray twice. At one point in the video, a message scrolled across the bottom of the screen, which said, "We bring you the souls who are in the prison of purgatory." So another way you can care for the prisoners is to pray for the souls in purgatory. And there are many different prayers you can say to accomplish this, especially the first 9 days in November. Each year, our church provides packages that show you how you can help the poor souls leave purgatory and go to heaven. I'm going to conclude with this. In the book, The Dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena, St. Catherine states that God told her that he knows that we humans are not capable of loving him the way we should. We just don't have that ability. But he told St. Catherine, if we truly love our neighbors, he would accept that as his love, our love for him. So visiting these prisoners is one way to love our neighbor and therefore to present our love to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.